Blog Talk Radio.
Jean-Luc, Geordi Specs, mysteries on the holodecks, asteroids, triple droids, telepathic betazoids, transporter, deadly claw, visitor from L.A. Law, photons, no Kirk, captain has gone berserk, shuttlecraft, Council Troy, Dr. Crusher's little boy, Klingon rights, parasites, new heights, phaser fights, Data's head, Tasha's dead, Riker's hanging by a thread, celebration, transformations, everyone to battle
stations.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Uncle Jim here with you tonight. GM Chris is working late, so he won't be with us, and David has been taking some time off because he's dealing with some issues around home, but he lurks around from time to time, might bop into the chat room or give us a call if he gets a chance. So you guys are stuck with me all alone for the next hour, hour and a half. But I'm not alone because I have some really good friends of mine online with us here tonight. We're going to do a special show for you guys. We're going to do a show on cosplay and conventions. Now, you might ask yourself, what the hell is cosplay and what is there to talk about conventions? Funny you should ask that, because we're going to answer that question for you guys tonight. Cosplaying, way back in the day, before it even had a name, before cosplay even existed, Victoria, you remember those days when I was running Star Trek conventions and I would dress up as a Klingon?
Oh, yeah.
That before cosplay was cool. Now cosplay
right.
is cool, and you'd never go to a convention and not see it. But way, way back in the day, you didn't see a lot of cosplay. When we dressed up as cosplayers, that we were laughed at and ridiculed and were weirdos and everything else. But we did it anyways, and we paved the road for modern-day professional cosplayers like my two guests tonight, Victoria Vine and Johnny Arrow. So let's start with Victoria. What's on your mind tonight, Victoria? What's going on with you?
One of the things that I'm going to be doing this summer is I'm actually going to be in a play, and that all stems from my doing cosplay. I've been working on the costume with a friend of mine. And unfortunately, today, when I put those boots on to practice walking in them, you know, the ones that, like, got 4-inch hooked heels on them? Remember those ones I showed you?
Oh, yes. I thought you were going to fall off of my camp.
Right, I know, right? So anyway, I practiced walking around. I'm doing better, and I took them off, and I found that the entire length of the back on one of the heels cracked. So I'm very bummed out. Yes, I know. I'm very bummed out about it. But I got a hold of the girl who made them, and she's out in Germany, emailed them and everything, and they suggested that depending on, you know, when I'm going to have the show, maybe they could send me a pair of new hooves free of charge and everything. But at least in the meantime, they suggested that I patch it up with some resin or some epoxy, and that might do the trick for now anyway. So we'll have to see. But, you know, wardrobe failure, it happens, and, you know, you just have to figure out what to do. So that's what's on
now,
my mind right now.
way back in the day when
mm-hmm.
we were doing Star Trek conventions, and you actually played in the band that played
yes.
at our Star Trek convention after convention dance parties. If I remember correctly, you were a Catwoman, I believe.
Have I done that? It's possible.
I think so. But nowadays, you've progressed. You're not a Catwoman anymore. What are you predominantly cosplaying as these days?
I'd have to say, I would say Junko Inoshima is the costume I've been really wearing a lot lately. I'm really enjoying that. I enjoy the response to it. It's, you know, as with anime characters, they definitely show off your parts, you know, because, I mean, I started off hitting back into the cosplay with V for Vendetta playing V, and basically not an inch of flesh is showing. So, you know, I've been enjoying going out and being more feminine, you know, so that's interesting.
First saw you, I haven't seen you in a long time, and
right.
I was on a Super Mega Fest with Karen and Jamie, and
mm-hmm.
we saw you in another costume, and I got to fondle your balls.
Yeah, that was the red buoy ball, one of those flotation devices. Yeah, I started, found some really awesome pirate groups in Massachusetts, and in fact, I'm part of two, officially part of two pirate groups now. The Rogues Armada and the Wolves of the Sea. I also help out with the Northeast Buccaneers. Those are all different groups you can find right on Facebook. It's pretty exciting because there's some more pirating things coming up this summer that I will be definitely participating in. You know, seeing as how I've always wanted to be a pirate since I was 9 years old and actually saw the movie Swashbuckler with Robert Shaw.
See, I always remembered you as a Star Wars girl myself.
Oh, yes. Yep, because when the Star Wars movies came out, I lived it. I had all the figures. I had puzzles. I had the books. I had the 33 and a third RPMs, the albums. Yeah.
Vinyl.
Yes, vinyl when it came out. I had those in the picture book. The Topps trading cards, you name it, the calendars, I had it all. And, you know, ran around as Princess Leia for Halloween a couple times. And, you know, as a kid, that was the future. You know, I wanted my own fleet of, you know, X-Wings and TIE Fighters. And I wanted to live that.
Well, really, what kid growing up in that time didn't? Really?
Oh, I know. I mean, all the neighborhood kids who ran around in the woods, you know, there's this one drop off this little sandy cliff. That was our trash compactor because it had all kinds of trees and debris. And, you know, we would just run around playing Star Wars in the woods. It was a great time.
And again, that was a form of cosplay before cosplay
mm-hmm.
was acceptable.
Right.
So I have known Victoria for a very, very, very long time. My next guest, Johnny Arrow, I haven't known for all that long, but he's equally as cool. I met Johnny Arrow at FanaCon in Albany at the Empire State Plaza Convention Center, the Egg. And he was, of course, dressed up as Arrow. For those of you who don't know who Arrow is, why are you listening to my show, for God's sakes? But Arrow is on the CW, Green Arrow, which he is now, but originally he was just the Arrow. And I saw him walking around as Arrow, and I said, I got to get this dude's picture. That is an excellent Arrow costume. Of course I did, and I met Johnny, and I Facebooked him, and I run into him at ChaseCon every time I go to a local convention. I'll see Johnny, but he doesn't just do Arrow. He does a plethora of other costumes. And so, Johnny, what's going on with you these days?
Well, Jim, it's I've kind of got a really busy schedule. I just came back from Massive Comic Con, which was last weekend on the 25th in Dorchester, Mass, at the Dorchester Union Center, I believe. It was our second event, and I usually haven't really done a lot of cosplay outside of New York State. I mean, I've been to Anime Next a couple times in New Jersey, but this is the first time I've entered a contest out of the New York State. I had a lot of fun. People in Massachusetts bring their A-game. Let's just put it that way. I've never seen such intricate costumes for people that were at the beginner level. Like, I saw full Iron Man armors and full Brotherhood of Steel from Fallout 4. I decided to try to bring my original character, which is the Mad Doctor. It's a steampunk Mad Doctor, which I made all myself It was an original design. I even upgraded it from the long staff that I have. It was a light-up scepter. And for not being a known character, people were like, wow, this character is amazing, because when I got up on stage, I literally was the character, because that's how I do cosplay. I don't just go into the costume. I try to be methodical about it by acting out the character. And I actually had the MC, who was dressed as the Mad Hatter, get down on his knees, and I said, you now bow, because this is where your family is, kind of playing off the new movie. And, I mean, the crowd went wild. It was a lot of fun. So I definitely had a blast with that. I also have works of going into making something for Otakon, which is in August, Mephisto from Blue Exorcist. I'm in the process of getting that together right now. I've never really made an anime cosplay, but I'm trying to expand my repertoire into other avenues. Also, some ones that I have coming up are, Man-at-Arms from He-Man, from the 80s cartoon, and I also have Space Ghost and Inspector Gadget, which I'll be working on in the future. So kind of got a lot on my plate right now, but I love it, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Awesome.
Now, Johnny, what actually, what got you interested in cosplay in the first place? What made you decide to go out in public dressed as a character, as a fictional character other than yourself?
Well, sometimes people say I'm a little larger than life because I'm very adamant, I'm very outgoing. But really, like most kids my age, well, my kids, but I'm 35, I would say like Voltron and the Power Rangers. I was one of those kids that was in my grandmother's living room jumping around, making believe I was one of the Power Rangers. I've been a diehard fan since the beginning. They're like my dream. When they come to InfinityCon coming up in July 9th and 10th, I will be there so I can just meet them, because they are like my childhood heroes. But I think that's really what it was. And I've always been a nerd. So you name it, comic books, video games. It's just, I've always had a very overactive imagination. So I'm like, I want to be that. And it's just kind of parlayed into, you know, cosplay.
Now, InfinityCon is next weekend at the Lake George Forum in Lake George, New York, right?
That's correct. July 9th and July 10th.
Yeah, that was the one that was at the Lake George Great Escape Lodge last year.
That's correct.
All right.
Yeah, we're gonna talk a little bit about conventions and what makes a good one, what makes a bad one, what we like, what we don't like, and things we'd like to see in the second half of the show. But right now, I just want to talk about cosplaying. Now, Victoria, your pirate costume. Where did you get the inspiration for your pirate costume? Did you go to the costumer and pick up and progress from there, or did you just sew your entire costume from scratch out of an idea that you had, or is it a mishmash of a bunch of different ideas put together to create that persona?
For me, let's see, with my pirate outfit, I had noticed that at one of the, it was Granite State Comic Con a couple years back. I noticed a friend of mine had this really awesome brocade black coat. So I said, where did you get that? And he said, Shrine. So Shrine of Hollywood. I looked that up online. I said, because it looked like a really awesome Renaissance type coat. And, you know, kind of like that and everything. And then I know it was later at the Rhode Island Comic Con, I actually met a group of pirates, the Pirates of the Cape at that time. And then when I talked to them, they said they were going to be at Super Mega Fest the next year. And I said, oh, my God, I've always wanted to be a pirate. I got to get something together. So the first thing I did is I did bought online one of the Shrine coats. I went and I said, God, I need a hat. So it was on Etsy. I found a leather musketeer type hat. And I go, oh, I'm going to need feathers in this. So I found another vendor on Etsy who sold nice, large red, black, and white ostrich feathers. So I got those and arranged them on the hat, made a little leather belt with a little, you know, I got some leather cutting tools and, you know, punch, made a snap on it and put a belt around the hat. So I modified it and put feathers on it. Then corsets. I wanted a corset. So I went and found a corset shop online. Can't remember the name offhand, but got myself a corset. And then I go, geez, I've already got like this little lacy, kind of like a tank top in a way. So black, put that under it, had the black corset. And I had actually tried to get some like slops and other types of pants, but they really didn't work. So what I ended up doing is just I got some leggings, and I had a pleather skirt. And then I ordered a belt from like Renaissance Leather because I love Celtic motifs. So I ordered a large ring belt and ordered a fake pistol, and and from there it's like, you know, I've had, you know, different things. I might say, oh geez, I like this tricorn, where did you get it? So I ordered a tricorn, and then I might just have something that works with it, you know. I say, oh, I was in the store and I saw this really long scarlet scarf in Macy's that had sequins and some gold thread. I says, hey, that's gonna make a great sash. You know, so, you know, I modify some stuff. I buy real clothes. I go to professional places. And as far as the costumer, I actually went to costumer for my V for Vendetta mask, just a quick offside there, and I modified it. But most of the time with me, I'm either using stuff that it's in a store, a secondhand shop, I commission it, or go to people who regularly make these kind of clothes, and maybe there's something ready-made that I might be able to incorporate into a costume.
Now, let me. Well, actually, your pirate costume was so impressive that Jamie actually started dressing up as a pirate,
right?
And she loves it. She has a great time doing it. It's a lot of fun. But let me ask you a question, and then I'm going to jump over to Johnny and ask Johnny the same questions so we can hear it in advance and think about it. How much does your costume run you from beginning to end? What's the investment in your pirate costume?
Okay. My pirate costume, I've never figured out the cost of that. I mean, all I could do is I'd be throwing numbers at you. I'll just do it like this. Because, like, currently I'm actually working on four different costumes that I haven't presented yet. And I'm going to say that, you know, as far as it goes, like, one of the things that I don't consider in because it's always going on is the research that I do. What do I want to do? What's some good source material? Okay, now that I found that, who can I find that can either make it or already have it? So I spend a lot of time on the Internet. On different sites looking for things. And then if I find a costumer that can do it, sometimes, you know, if they're local, I'm back and forth spending the day doing stuff like that. You know, but for me, because of the kind of presentation, I want it to be, you know, a certain way. And I'm going to do it that way, and it's going to happen that way. I just, you know, I usually don't, oh, that's good enough. So say like, you know, I would say for me, it's like, this is, I know I've got a friend who does like cosplay on a budget. Well, most of my money, you know, I'm feeding myself, paying my bills, and I live for the cosplay and the conventions and what I'm doing. So, you know, something like one of my pirate outfits could easily run $1,000, you know, and more. You know, my V for Vendetta is far more than that. I mean, I had that costume basically made on my body by a professional costumer. So it depends on, you know, how far people want to go, you know. But, you know, as far as the pirate costume goes, with the Rogues Armada, we did have the honor of being able to induct Kevin McNally, that's Joshua Gibbs, from the actual Pirates of the Caribbean movie. We inducted him into as an honorary member of the Rogues Armada. And later that evening, we were able to have, you know, sit down and have, you know, a bit of dinner with him. And one of the things that he said to us and our group is, he said, it looks like you just walked off a movie set. That's when I know, and everybody else, we've done a good job. We have brought those characters to life. And, you know, and for me, you know, that's worth the time, the energy, the money that I put into this.
Now, now, Johnny, how about your Johnny Arrow, your Arrow costume? What is a costume like that going to run somebody? If somebody wants to get interested, get into cosplay, how much can they expect to spend on a costume like yours?
Okay, for Arrow, that was before I really started making my costumes. I have an obsession with that show. You can ask my fiance. I have Arrow figures and Arrow everywhere, even an Arrow wallet. For the cosplay that I got, it was about $250, and it came basic. I plan on actually updating it and actually making the newer version in the next few months. But you're looking, it's really, like Victoria said, it's really what you want to spend. I mean, mine is made out of like a pleather material. If you want to go high end and go leather, you're looking at $500 to $1,000 easy. That's just for the costume, not counting the bow or the quiver or any of the accessories. It's really what you want to put into it. I think as long as you're having fun, $5 or $5,000, it's all about really fun. And just find somebody you really like. With Arrow, it is very easy. But yeah, you could look anywhere of probably about $250 to $1,000 or more easily to make a really high-end costume.
Now, our studio line here is open. You guys can call and ask Victoria or Johnny a question. The number here is 646-668-2433. I'll say that one more time for you guys. That's 646-668-2433. Give us a call and you can ask Johnny or Victoria a question. The question that you've been burning to ask. Well, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. So, you know, as far as costumes go, I don't want to scare anybody away who's listening to this show about cosplay. I'll tell you guys, my Klingon costume cost me probably $30 to make. Why so cheap? I'll tell you why. Because the Klingon head that I made, I went and got a bottle of latex at the costumer, got a styrofoam head, got some clay, put the ridges on the head, painted the latex over it. When it dried, peeled it off, there was my skull cap. Went and bought the cheapest wig I could find and cut it up and sewed it onto my Klingon head, spray painted it brown to match the color I wanted. There was my Klingon head. And then I went and I got the great thing about Klingons is they're like pirates in space. You just go to a used clothing store, Salvation Army, whatever, and you find stuff that looks Klingon-y. And you throw it on yourself, and there you are, a Klingon. Relatively cheap, relatively easy. So you don't really have to spend hundreds and hundreds or thousands of dollars on a costume if you're interested in getting into cosplay. The big thing, like Johnny said, as long as you have fun, you're enjoying yourself, that's the important thing. And you know, you don't want to go outside your budget. You don't want to spend your mortgage money or your food money on buying a costume. That's, you know, a little bit above and beyond. But you can do these things in stages. You can buy a piece here, buy a piece there, and build it as you go. Now, one of the things that really impresses me, something that I really enjoy, which at ChaseCon this year was there in abundance. For me, I just love to see a costume that I like. Star Wars. Let's use Star Wars. There were a couple of sand troopers wandering around at ChaseCon in Saratoga Springs, New York, last October. That just, when they walked in, my jaw hit the ground, and I said, "Oh my God, I've got to go talk to this dude." I went over and talked to this guy. Come to find out that this guy spent thousands of dollars on this costume, because what he did was he went to Christie's auction, bought an actual film used stormtrooper outfit, and recast every single part of the outfit for his costume because he didn't want to wear the original costume. And like the gloves he was showing me were $400. The blaster rifle was $300. He's going through the cost of all the parts on this costume, but let me tell you people something. This guy, I could have stepped out of a movie and you would not have known the difference. it was that authentic. It just, I had to go over and tell him how awesome he looked. I've seen Iron Man costumes that could have stepped off the Avengers movie, complete with helmets that pop up and repulsors in the hands. At Infinity Con last year, I saw a Wonder Woman that was just awesome. You know, when people put the time and pay attention to the detail, it shows in their costume. And when I see someone like that, I have to go over, I have to talk to them, and I have to tell them how awesome they look, because they took the time to do it. They deserve their recognition. So, you know, kudos to everybody who does that, because it really, really, really adds to the atmosphere of a convention. If you've never been to one, go. You know, walk. Don't run to the next Comic-Con. Run into Thor. You'll run into Captain America. You'll run into Black Widow. You'll run into... I see lots of anime people whom I don't know. You'll run into... you will see costumes there that you didn't know existed, and you'll have a good time. Trust me on that. If you're listening to this show, I know you'll have a good time. So, wow. The show is half over already, guys. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Wow.
It's going by.
Jeez. So let's talk a little bit about, let's talk about conventions. Now, Victoria knows way back in the day, I used to organize and promote Star Trek conventions in upstate New York. Oh. I did 4 of them. Actually, and the way that conventions used to go, we used to do Star Trek conventions, and where you had Star Trek stars, you had Star Trek video rooms, because we didn't have the internet back then. So, you know, you'd show the Star Trek movies, the Star Trek videos. You'd have all kinds of guests that would be talking about the technology of Star Trek, what's going on, the new movies, the latest, whatever it was. You'd have the Star Trek costume contest. You'd have Vulcans, Klingons, Andorians, all that stuff. And to top it all off, if a Star Trek actor being there, Marina Sirtis, Mark Leonard, Will Wheaton, and everybody that comes to the convention would get an autograph, and that would be the end of the show. And you'd have a Q&A session where everybody could go into a ballroom and you could ask Will Wheaton and Marina Sirtis a question, or, you know, whatever you wanted. And that's the way conventions went in the early days. However, that was in the dark ages. Now, everything you go to is a Comic-Con. They're all Comic-Con. When that change happened, I don't know, but they became Comic-Cons. Now, here's the drawback. Well, I don't know if it's a drawback, but we're going to talk about it with my two guests. By expanding to Comic-Cons, and not specifically having a Star Trek convention, but a Comic-Con, what happened is you've diluted, you've taken a specific type of a convention, Star Trek, which always, you know, when I say it's a Star Trek convention, you know, it would branch out. You know, you'd have Buck Rogers and Star Wars and different other sci-fi related genre included in Star Trek. But now that they have Comic-Cons, they've diluted the whole convention experience down to include everything outside of drama, cop shows, and comedies. It's all lumped together into Comic-Cons, comic book, science fiction, superheroes, everything is all included in Comic-Cons. And what ends up happening is it's such a huge multimedia event that trying to get tickets to some of these things like San Diego Comic-Con or even New York City Comic-Con becomes virtually impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a huge, huge amount of people that are being covered. Also, when you pay at the door, I'm gonna intentionally, because this is my show, people. I can say what I want. Okay.
Okay.
If you don't like it, if you give me a call, 646-668-2433, and tell me to stick it in my ass. Tell me to shut up. Tell me I'm crazy. Tell me I'm an idiot. Okay. But it's my show, so I say what I want. And I invite you guys to do the same. Call me and tell me what's on your mind, because I'm sure as hell going to tell you what's on mine. So when I heard about the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, I got excited because there's this Mission Star Trek tour that's going around the country, and it's going to be stopping at Jacob Javits Convention Center in New York City. And they're going to have pretty much the entire cast of Star Trek is going to be there. They're going to premiere all kinds of stuff. They're going to have sets from the movies. They're going to have, like, all kinds of stuff. And I was like, oh, great. So I go online. Tickets in advance are $70 a day, $90 at the door. So I'm like, wow. So I emailed the dude, and I said, yo, dude, for $90 at the door, what do I get? And he said, you get to walk in. I said, okay, well, what about Chris Pine's autograph? What about Carl Urban? What about Brian Greenwood? I mean, what about all these people that are going to be there? And he says, well, you have to pay extra for the autographs and pictures on top of the admittance fee. And I said, are you kidding me? $100? $90 at the door? And then I have to plunk down another $40, $50, or $60 for each person that I want to meet? Is that a ridiculous joke or what? That really caught me. And let me tell you why. Back in the day, when I had my Star Trek conventions, I had one at the Empire State Plaza Convention Center in Albany, and we were charging $30 a day. And that included autographs with the stars, who at the time was Robert O'Reilly, who plays Gowron, and Carl Striken, who plays Lurch and Ian's family, and Charlie Cooper, who played General Cord in Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, included an autograph with these people. People would call me on the phone and yell at me that I was charging too much, and how dare I charge, make all this money off the name of Star Trek, blah, 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 blah. And back then, every time my commercial aired on TV, it was my home phone number that was on the screen. It was my home phone number that you were calling, and these calls would come in at all hours. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think I was charging that much. $90 at the door that includes nothing?
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
It's
outrageous.
Commercialization of everything. Yeah. That's too much.
Now, you know, I understand that conventions are different today than they were back when I was doing them. Just as an example, Mark Leonard, Spock's father, I contacted his agent, said, you know, my first convention, which was KlingCon 91, I said, I want to have Mark Leonard. Call up the Screen Actors Guild, get in touch with his agent, the whole bit. He flies out for the day, $3,000, okay, for one day. And I have to pay for first class round trip airline from Los Angeles to Albany and back again, and put him up in a hotel, blah, blah, blah. Great. Reasonable. No problem. Pay him. He comes. Everyone that shows up and pays their $20 at the door gets an autograph with him, all included in the price. All right? And that's the way it went back then. Today, when you go to a Comic-Con, people, and they have 15 guest stars there, okay? Every single one of those guest stars that you see sitting behind a table that's charging you for a picture and an autograph, the way they do these conventions today is when you call them up, instead of paying Mark Leonard the $3,000 up front, Mark Leonard's back where you guarantee him that he will make a minimum of $3,000 on autographs and pictures. Okay, if he does, you don't pay him a thing. If he doesn't, if he only makes $1,000, you have to pay him $2,000. So they actually don't collect any money up front now. So that's why when they come to the convention, you have to pay for an autograph and a picture. It wasn't that way back in the day. So, and a lot of these, if you've never been to a convention before, if you want to go to a convention, say your favorite actor from your favorite show, Arrow. I'm going to pick on them now too. Again, people who want to call and yell at me, 646-668-2433 is where you can find me. I'm right here. I'm not afraid. Arrow. They just had a convention down in New Jersey. No, I think it's this weekend. It's 4th of July. Yeah, it's this weekend. It's happening
now.
Yeah,
it's coming up.
In New Jersey. Huh? It's called Heroes and Villains.
Yes, that's correct.
I think.
Yep.
And I saw that they're having Arrow, the Canary. They're having a ball there. I think the Flash is even going to be there. Supergirl. It's huge. And I'm like, wow. I go on their Facebook page. $999 for a VIP package.
What?
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's really, really highly priced.
Wow.
You know, and people yell $30 at the door. Now, I realize that these people are actors, and I realize that what you and I love and consider to be a hobby to them is a job. I understand that. That's completely cool. But, my God, $999? I couldn't believe it. I was stunned. Stunned.
Well, I guess.
And
I just want to add something. I mean, I guess in some ways, when I look at the price of, like, football tickets, I mean, maybe they're trying to put it in the same range as some of these professional sports venue tickets. I don't know.
I have no idea personally,
I definitely
agree it's overpriced.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think it's just way overpriced. Now, Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And I'm walking around in the autograph room, and they had a whole bunch of people that were there. And I saw Jake Busey sitting all by himself at a table texting someone. For you people who don't know, Jake Busey was Ace in Starship Troopers, and he's Gary Busey's son. He's done a few other things, but I know him as Ace from Starship. And I went over to him, and I said, hey, are you busy? And he put his phone down. He said, oh, no. And I talked to him for a couple minutes about Starship Troopers, and I said, you know, can you autograph a Starship Troopers posters for me? And he said, no problem. I ran out of the dealer's room, bought one, came back, $20. He signed my picture for me. I thought that was very reasonable. Very reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then his father was there as well, Gary Busey. And boy, was he spaced out. I don't think he knew where he was or what he was doing. And I think it was $30 to get a picture taken with him. I mean, he's legendary. I had to meet
Gary Busey.
I'm a collector on a budget. When I go down to Cherry Hill, you know, we're spending $500 for a hotel room for two nights. It takes us 6 hours to get there and 6 hours to get back, gas and tolls and food for the weekend. We're easily pushing $800-$900 just to get there. I don't have a lot of extra money in my pocket to spend on other things, so I have to shop the autograph room looking for bargains because, you know, that's what I do. And I'll tell you, I want to one other thing, and then I'm gonna open it up for Victoria and Johnny to put their two cents in. I'll step off my soapbox. I have noticed in my travels that when I go to these conventions and they have like Daryl Dixon, Daryl from The Walking Dead, whose name escapes me right now, or Michonne from The Walking Dead, or
Norman Reedus.
Big,
yes, Norman Reedus.
Yeah, Norman Reedus. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Whom I love on The Walking Dead, but when they have these people there, and they're charging $60-$80 for an autograph, and the line is all the way out the door and around the hotel.
Oh.
And I walk around the dealer's room, and I see somebody sitting in there, and this actually happened. I was like, I'm walking through the autograph room, and I see sitting in the corner with a cigar hanging out of his mouth, not lit, but a cigar in his mouth. I see there. And Dirk Benedict himself. And my mouth hit the floor. I went, I was like, oh my God, you're Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica. And I went over and I shook his hand. I was so excited. And it was like $20 for an autograph and a picture, and he talked to me for 10 minutes. I was ecstatic. I was totally thrilled. I grew up watching Battlestar Galactica, and there's Dirk Benedict sitting at a table over there all by himself. I was thrilled. Karen, not so much. But me, yeah. So I'm like walking away like, wow, wow, that was cool. I walk around a little bit more, and sitting over in the corner, I see this woman, and there's no one at her table. And I look up, and there's a banner above her head that says, Erin Gray. Sitting into the show, and you don't know who Erin Gray is? Erin Gray was on Buck Rogers. She was Colonel Wilma Deering. Again, 21st I grew up
century.
Watching Buck Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
I ran over to her, and I was like, oh, my God. And I'm talking to her, and she's telling me about Tweaky and everything else. $20 poster. That was the best $40 I ever spent at a convention. Okay? It's not the name. It's the memories you associate with that character. It all comes when you meet that person, it just all comes out, and you're a kid again. So, so Johnny, what are some of the best conventions that you've attended, and what made them so good for you?
Well, for me, a lot of the local conventions are a lot of fun. I personally enjoy ChaseCon. I have since I've been going for the last couple of years. They have a really wide diversity of different vendors and some good cosplay guests. I love when I get to see the Mandos because I'm a big Star Wars person. Anything nerdy. And it's just, I've met some really high-end cosplayers there. I met Ruby Renesco, I met Jennifer Rose, Chelsea Panchastity, Serafina Cosplays. All cosplayers I absolutely admire because of what they bring and what they do and how they go about putting their stuff together. Also, I dare say Albany Comic Con has been a lot of fun. You can find some really good comic books, which I added to my collection just recently. And the best one in recent memory was, I have to say, is Massive Comic Con. It was organized very well, had a really good layout, a lot of good vendors, had a lot of really good guests. They had a couple of gentlemen from The Flash. He played The Mist, I believe. He also plays Victor Zsasz on Gotham. His name is escaping me. I'm sorry. They also had the gentleman who played Nobu out of the Netflix Daredevil series. And also one of my personal favorites from my childhood, William Catt from The Greatest American Hero. And he is one of the most genuinely nice people. He was sitting down with the Angry Geeks show. And they just talked about the show, and he is one of the most down-to-earth people you could ever meet. Like, he has a very witty banter. He's just a genuinely nice person. And hear him talk about the show, because I loved the show growing up, and he talked about favorite episodes, just all about some stuff from the past about it, and just what he does now. And he's just a great guy. So, I mean, overall, I'd say those are probably the best cons I've been to recently.
Believe it or not, I'm
walking on air. The part where he actually stands in front of the mirror, though, the part where he stands in front of the mirror and he's like, hey, sailor, he actually was jokingly doing that, and then it just kind of ran with it. It was just, it was great.
Yeah.
See, I have found in my experience that those type of, and I hate to use this word, but another word escapes me. But I'm not, it's not a derogatory, it's not meant to be derogatory in any way, shape, or form. But those B-rate actors from those B-rate 70s, 80s shows, those are the ones that you get the biggest bang for your buck out of meeting. Because those are the people that are genuinely thrilled to death that you remember the work that they did and who they are and the characters that they brought to life, and they will talk to you forever, tell you all kinds of stories. I was walking around an autograph room, and you remember the movie The Warriors about the gang in New York City? I'm walking around the dealer's room, and I see this guy sitting at a table, And he's got a beard, gray beard. He was maybe 60-ish. And a pair of roller skates on his table. And behind him is a Xanadu poster and a Warriors poster. And I'm like, that guy looks familiar, but I've seen both those movies. I love the Warriors, and what kid growing up in the late 70s, early 80s didn't have the hots for Olivia Newton-John? So of course I saw Xanadu, music by ELO. So I went over to him and started talking to him, and he was the guy that starred in the Warriors. He played Swan, the leader of the gang, and he was also the artist in Xanadu that roller skated with Olivia Newton-John, and the roller skates he had on the table were the roller skates that he wore in the movie. And he had a Warriors poster that he had commissioned and drawn up that he signed for me, told me and Karen all kinds of stories about meeting Fred Astaire and Olivia Newton-John and all the roller skating in Xanadu and all the gangs in the Warriors. And he was just a genuinely down-to-earth, friendly, decent, completely cool guy who was more than thrilled to death to talk to me about these couple of movies that he made way, way back in the late 70s. He was a pleasure to talk to. And I got my $20 worth. But, Victoria, I know that you attend. What are some of the best ones that you've attended, and what ones do you like the most and why?
As far as it goes for me, one of the main things that I love about any of the conventions I've attended, it's the cosplayers and attendees. That's what I go for, meeting people like Johnny Arrow and Roxas.
Yep.
And just seeing, you know, what awesome stuff, when we've been at steampunk festivals, the Albany, the Chase Con, and, you know, just the passion that these other artists have and the techniques they use to bring these characters to life. You know, that, like I said, you know, I've been down to New York City. I have to say that was a thrill going down there, because that's when I did my V for Vendetta. I usually don't, you know, go in for meeting any particular artists or any particular stars. I personally don't collect autographs, but I have to say I did collect one. When I went down to New York City, I got David Lloyd's autograph in my V for Vendetta graphic novel, along with a little sketch of V, and did him the V soliloquy, and that was a blast. You know, so I really like it. Say, like, New York City had a great selection of artists in the artist alley. I love looking at the work, you know, and occasionally something will stand out, and it's like I got to buy that. You know, so I love looking at the artists doing their things, and the cosplayers. I really loved our Super Mega Fest in Massachusetts. Unfortunately, they're changing their venue and their date. But I have to say that, you know, I met you again there. That's when I got to really do the pirating thing with my pirates, and we got some really awesome pictures. You know, so, you know, for me, I really enjoyed, you know, the more cosplayers and artists that you have at a place, the more I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, Chase Con, we went to the very first Chase Con that they had. I wanted to check it out and see what it was all about before I invested in a dealer's table. But we went to the first one, and we've had a vendor's table at every one since then, up in Saratoga, and that show was great. But I do want to add to that. I think that, you know, cosplayers are a very important part of your convention experience. Without some decent cosplayers, it's really not worth going to, I don't think.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you never really know, you know, what cosplayers are going to be there until you get there. Which brings me to my second point. If you're gonna go to a show, they have to have, there's got to be a media guest there that's going to attract enough fans to make it worth your investment to go to the show. And that's the big hook and crook. You know, they have to have, you know, what I, you know, we used to call them mundanes back in the Star Trek day. And these are people that aren't really into conventions, and they're not really into the lifestyle that we are. But, mm-hmm. you know, when they see William Shatner, they know it's Star Trek, and they're going to go meet William Shatner because of the name recognition. You need mm-hmm. to have somebody there that people are going to recognize the name, and they're going to pay at the door to come to the show. Because there's not enough of us to support it by itself. You have to have the mundanes paying at the door, bringing their families to spend the day there. So that's what you have to look into. Now, unfortunately, Victoria, we're not going to New York City Comic Con.
Oh, you're kidding!
Unfortunately. I kid you not. I got the email, and I went into I waited 2 hours in the queue just for them to tell me, sorry, the tickets are sold out, and the only tickets they had left available were Thursday and Sunday.
Thursday, not a day to go. The whole convention thing has changed. I mean, you know, now it's turned into, you know, it's insane. You can't even get tickets anymore. The way they sell these things, the way they promote these things, the way they made us all register and be online and blah, blah, blah. It's you know, these big things are becoming not worth it. It's just too much stress, too much commercialization.
Now, Johnny Arrow brought this up earlier. InfinityCon, mm-hmm. which they had the Great Escape Lodge in Lake George last year. I was all excited about it. We went there.
It was a great show.
Yep, you were there.
I was there.
Here's the thing. The guy that ran the convention, I don't know if he's... I don't know what game he's playing, but he pulled the old bait and switch because half the people that he advertised were going to be there weren't there. Mm. Now, I sell sci-fi stuff, but I also used to have a baseball card store, and I have a ton of baseball stuff. And my teenage idol was supposed to be there, Mr. Pete Rose himself, which I was ecstatic over.
Right.
So we brought all of our baseball stuff, all of our plaques, all of our cards, everything. No Pete Rose. And I was so upset about that whole thing that I contacted Pete Rose's agent myself and found out that Pete Rose was never contacted or booked to appear at that convention last year.
Oh, wow.
That really left a sour, sour taste
mm-hmm.
in my mouth. And I was like, wow, if he's advertising that he has stars that he knows he doesn't have, that's pretty low.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
So
let me tell you,
I hope that when he does the show next weekend here in Lake George, that the people he has scheduled actually show up. But, you know, that left a sour taste in my mouth, and I have no interest to deal with someone that does that. So I crossed InfinityCon right off my list for that reason.
Right.
Because I've never done that. I've had stars that have backed out on me, and I've had to replace mm-hmm. them with someone else.
Right.
That's common. But I've never put out a flyer that said William Shatner will be here Saturday only, and then knowing that William Shatner wasn't going to be there because I never contacted him, and then just not replace him with anyone and just you know, I've never done that.
Mm.
So that left a really sour taste in my mouth about the whole, unfortunately. And Super Mega Fest, I love Super Mega Fest, but I don't think we're going to be able to go anymore because they moved it all around.
Yes, that's terrible. When I found that out, I'm like, you're kidding me. Even all my other cosplayer friends from the area were like, you got to be kidding me. And then they were like, well, maybe we should just have a lobby party anyway, but I don't know how far that's going to go.
Well, you know, the thing that I really liked about Super Mega Fest was the layout of the convention. It flowed.
Yes.
You know, you weren't stuck in one giant room. There was upstairs, there was downstairs. You had the lobby and the hotel. You know, you could go up to your room, come back down from your room. You know, you could move all over the place.
Mhm. Great. It was a great place for a convention.
So I don't know how it's going to go now that they have
And I have to say this too about the Super Mega Fest in Framingham. The other thing is when that early evening sun hit, I mean, the place kind of looks like a castle, and it has this beautiful, it's made out of this beautiful stone stuff. Some of the best major, you know, everybody come down, do the giant group photos, individual photos. It was a great place to take pictures, too. Yep. Too bad.
Yeah, it did. It looked like a giant castle.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool.
Yeah.
So, Karen found one online, in Cherry Hill, Monster Mania. We used to go to it, but it's a 6-hour drive. We went to it a couple years ago because I wanted to meet Princess Leia. Had to meet Princess Leia.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the trip. This year they're having Freddy Krueger there, who's just as legendary. and without Super,
wow.
You know, without Super Mega Fest, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's getting hard these days to find a decent convention that you can count on.
Right.
So far, the only dependable one is ChaseCon. You know, every 6 months they have it, same weekend,
yeah,
same
I'd
location.
Like that.
And I like that. The only thing I don't like is it's not at a hotel.
Yeah, it's at the Civic Center, and it does have a hotel kind of attached, but that's I don't care for that. I think that hotel's expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, $239 a night.
Right, it's very expensive, and I don't think they give you a discount for the con either, do they?
No, they don't.
Yeah,
no.
That doesn't work. That doesn't work.
They do not. But, Until we can find another convention, it looks like ChaseCon is going to be our. Now, I'd like to see them do another FanaCon, but I don't know if they're going to.
Yeah, because I love the room. Yeah, well, the problem with that last year is there was hardly anybody. It just didn't bring the numbers in. Wasn't the issue? We really didn't. We didn't have any good quote unquote names.
Nope.
That was the problem, right?
No.
No.
That was a big problem.
Yeah.
You know, you've got, you can't have the bicycle zombie from The Walking Dead and expect people to come in droves to see the bicycle zombie.
Yeah, because nobody even knows who he is.
You know.
Mhm.
Right. You really need to, even somebody like John Wesley Shipp, who played the original Flash, or Sam Jones from the movie Flash Gordon, or Gil Gerard from Buck Rogers. You know, Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk. You know, there's names that you can get that people will recognize. Oh, I remember that. And they'll come for the nostalgia of it.
Yeah. To relive,
you know,
like you said, connect
like me.
Childhood memories.
You know, you really have to do that. And if you're just going to go with C-level actors, you're going to get C-level crowds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in the day when we did our Star Trek convention, the one that we had in Schenectady, where you guys were the band, we had Will Wheaton there and Michael Dorn. You know, Star Trek The Next Generation was the number one rated television show.
Yeah.
Best of Both Worlds Part 1 had aired. We were waiting for Part 2 to air. And Star Trek 6 was due to be released in the movie theaters. And Fox 23 hooked us up with an advanced copy of the trailer that we got to show before anyone else got to see it. And we got a copy of the Best of Both Worlds Part 2, which we showed at midnight in the ballroom, which was phenomenal. Star Trek being the number one TV show, we actually had to turn people away at the doors. It was that crowded. And, you know, if you want to, you really want to pack people in, you've got to give them something.
Right.
So that's the only advice that I can offer to anybody that's planning a convention. You have to have at least one name, the way who it is. They don't have to look it up on YouTube. They know.
Right.
When they hear the name, oh, my God, that's so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need. Doesn't take much. Because everything else that goes into the convention is all icing on the cake. But if you don't have a cake, the icing is just going to fall. It's just going to be a pile of icing. You know, you got to have the cake. I mean, I just... If I go to a convention and there's no cosplayers there, I'm very disappointed. But I'm not going to drive hours to go to a convention that's just cosplayers. It has to be the whole enchilada.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be everything.
Right.
And then for me, it's a good experience. But
yeah,
like,
there's definitely a lot
you know,
to do that you need.
Chase Con is moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I still think a little tweak here, a little tweak there, but they're getting to where they need to be. They're not quite there. There's things I would do better, things I would change, but they're moving in the right direction anyways.
Right.
And so I'm glad about that. And I'm really going to miss Super Mega Fest down in Framingham. That's really sad.
Yeah.
Another one to go to. But, yeah, if you've never been to a convention, you know, the other thing, too, they're called Comic-Con.
There's tons of them.
But don't
There's
let
tons
the name,
of them.
Don't let the name fool you. Because just because they're called Comic-Cons doesn't necessarily mean that they're just a bunch of comic books. Would you agree, Johnny?
Oh, absolutely. There's so much more than just comic books. You have video game vendors. I was up in one in Syracuse, Salt City Collecticon. They had vendors from Nintendo and Sony there. You also had other local cosplay groups, but you also had vendors that specialized in different avenues. It wasn't just comic books. I mean, there's something for everybody at a convention. If either you've been to one or 1,000, there's always something to do. There's always something to see. And if, you know, if it's not the vendors or the specific people, you have panels. And if you're not familiar with a panel, it's where they do topics that you have people that specialize in it. You also have celebrities that go and do like Q&A panels. And then you have people like, how would you make this armor? Or a big thing now is cosplay bullying, like what not to do, the body shaming, because I, for one, just like a lot of people, look at society and how people are shamed for their size because they're different. And it's now coming and permeating into different avenues of the cosplay community, which is very unfortunate because that's a place where a lot of people that aren't very comfortable in like social gatherings can find an outlet to make friends, to do things that they would normally feel very uncomfortable with doing. So it's just, there's always something to do at a convention. It's just, you just got to go. And I say to everybody, try it out. Even if you don't dress up, just go and see what it's all about.
Right. And as far as, like, panels go, I have to say Aresia, which they have in Massachusetts, in Boston, they have that around in January. You want to talk about something that has all kinds of panels on storytelling, social things, cosplay, gaming, questions and answers. Aresia is, I think, the best convention for panels.
You know what's funny? When we go to a convention, I'll put on my Star Wars shirt, my Star Trek shirt, and Karen, my wife Karen, my awesome wife Karen, my incredibly awesome wife
Karen.
She'll put on a button-down shirt and a pair of jeans, and I'll look at her and I'll say, "You're not wearing that, are you?" And she says,
"You really want to be in the doghouse?
You're
going to
look." I said, "You're going to look like a nerd dressed like that. Get that crap off and put on a more fitting shirt." So then she'll put on her I Am Groot shirt or, you know, something.
Isn't that a walking contradiction?
Now
we
can go out and play.
Oh, so bad.
you know.
Well, you know what I find is,
you know, we're going to a convention. But,
yeah, I just
but
want
the one
to mention
thing about conventions that.
Conventions. I just want to ask something really quick. So anyway, I did something, you know, because of this play that I'm going to be in is more Renaissance-based and it's fairy-based. And I just found out there's a fairy convention, and I don't know what it is. I got the card for it, a postcard. It was in the bulletin, the brochure for the fair that I attended. It was the New York Fairy Fest out in Harpersville, New York, last weekend.
Yep.
But, you know, it was like one of those things. I didn't even know there was a fairy convention. So, you know, there's tons of different, like you said, some of the Comic-Cons are very diverse, and some of them are too big these days. But, you know, and like I just wanted to address the thing about the clothing. You know, I have a pair of wings and kind of a little fairy dress and stuff, and I was kind of worried. But when I went, I knew I was with my people. Because there's little girls and there's guys dressed up as fairies and people as trolls, and someone was Elrond from the Lord of the Rings, and there was a Frodo, and it was just, you know, I you know, like you said, I sometimes worry about my clothes. I don't want to, quote-unquote, be mundane. You know, I want to fit in with the crowd. And then just like, you know, we're talking about, these conventions where the Comic-Cons are so diversified, but there are, say, like, there's a Doctor Who type convention, and it's for who, I can't remember, it's called Whovian or something. So sometimes there are those specialized venues, but, you know, you need to go on the internet these days and just take a look, because sometimes there are some smaller ones, and, you know, I haven't been to a lot of different conventions. I mean, there's an Anime Boston, and I think that that's mostly anime. You know, but, you know, you, like you said, get out there. There's all kinds of conventions, different prices, different names, different things. And no matter what, you know, it will be an interesting and fun time, and you're going to meet a lot of interesting people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what's the best thing about a convention? You go to a convention, people. When you're working in your mundane, normal life, fit in with everybody else and be normal, in quotes. But when you go to a convention, that goes out the window, because there is no normal at a convention. Normal is abnormal. And
yeah,
when you go
like
to a convention, you can go to a convention and walk up to anybody that's there and strike up a conversation like you've known them forever.
Yeah.
Because you all have one thing in common, and you know that when you go there, you're amongst friends. You're amongst people
mm-hmm.
of your own interests. And
yeah, yeah.
You could talk
about
Dungeons
and Dragons. When I go to a convention, I feel home, just like you're saying. I feel home.
Yeah, it's just it's great to be around other people that share the interest that you do, where you don't have to feel like you have to hide it or be somebody that you're not. You can be yourself, and nobody will care. Nobody will question you. Nobody will judge you. You can be you, and people will accept you for that. It's an awesome, awesome feeling. And you get to meet great people like Victoria and Johnny.
Yeah,
yay!
Buddy.
Woo-hoo!
We try.
So, Johnny,
oh, yeah.
How long have you actually been in cosplay, Johnny?
For about 6 years now, actually. I've been doing it for, I started locally, like in the Poughkeepsie, Dutchess County area, with my first con ever, which was non-con. It was a small localized con that was out of Vassar College, and it was like my first kind of interlude into cosplay and convention life, because I didn't know. Somebody kind of turned me on to the whole idea, and I was like, that seems cool. I'm a nerd and a dork. Why not? So I was like, I went in there, and I was like, I don't know how to make anything. What do I do? So I basically just took a basic T-shirt and put a wig on, and I was a character from this thing called Homestuck. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Homestuck. It is this web comic that was around for about 8 years. And it's interesting. It's about these four kids that basically go around, end up in a computer, try to save the world, and there's trolls and weird things with buckets. I don't even know. It was really weird. But it kind of said, you know what? I was like, this is cool. I'll try to do more things. And then I got into the part of with Arrow and then other characters from Homestuck. And then I started making everything. Man, I can thank Roxas for that one. My fiance, she taught me that basically you should make everything. So now I basically make everything, no matter how difficult or complicated it may be.
Yeah, I have to say some of your costumes just blow my mind. I mean, when I saw her with all those tails and then you with those black tails, and that just blew my mind. You know, the whole construction, the appearance, very professional. And then when you went up and did the costume thing, you did, you know, character stuff and I really love what you do, you know, because like I said, I don't make my costumes. I commission or I modify. And to see what you and Roxas do, I am blown away.
It's definitely a labor of love. That samurai costume that you're referencing was something called the folkwear pattern. I don't know if any of y'all are familiar. That's basically, you basically, it's all geometry and angles. You have to measure every point. By this point, and this pleat, it literally was the most arduous thing I've ever had to do because I'm a relatively beginner and starting to become intermediate sewer. And that's a more advanced idea. Like, I thought all patterns were the same. You basically get them at the store, you lay them down, you cut them, you sew them. I was wrong. I was horribly and utterly proven wrong on that one. But in the end, it was it all helped out, and it all looked really good. So.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Now,
yeah,
Jody, when you go to a convention, as Johnny Arrow, for instance, do you remain in character, or are you just yourself in a costume?
For the most part, I'm all about method acting. Like, if I'm Arrow, I'm this dark, brooding, very much, you failed this city. Like, I try to epitomize the character because, like, I think this is for me. Like, I mean, everybody's different. You don't have to be your character. If you're more comfortable just dressing up and being yourself, go for it. Mm-hmm. But the thing about me is I like dressing up and being that character. I've always, as a kid, wanted to be that character. So when I'm Arrow, I am Arrow. When I'm my mad doctor, I am very much my mad doctor. I unveiled him initially at the Steampunk Festival, the Enchanted City in Troy, which is usually once or twice a year. I had a light-up staff, and basically I was going around the Enchanted City threatening to take all the children's eyeballs.
Yes, I remember.
It was great. Like, and all the kids were like, wow. But I would walk up to them. I had a jar of candy eyeballs that I would give them, like, as long as the parents said they were okay. So my thing is, if I can bring myself into that character, like, this is the next one of the ones I want to do is Dr. Frankenfooter from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Awesome.
And I'm talking not the lab coat. I'm talking the corset, the boots, the wig.
Woo!
I mean, the whole deal. Because if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to go big. It's go big or go home. So when I do it, it's going to be I'm going to sing the parts of Sweet Transvestite. I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to play it up. And you know what? Everybody be like, why would you do that? Because you know what? It's fun. And you know what? It's
awesome.
All about having a blast.
I want to see this.
Oh, it's going to probably happen by October. So
okay.
You'll see me rocking a corset, and it'll be crazy, but it'll be a lot of fun.
It will be. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. The pictures will haunt me forever. I already
know
that much.
And you
know
what? At a convention, no one would probably look twice. It would be considered normal.
Of course.
That's
the thing.
That's
like,
right.
The most extreme. Like, Roxas, for example, has this cosplay. It's from an anime called Guilty Crown, I believe. It's called Inori. Victoria may remember this one. It was like I was Arrow. It was at Albany Comic Con, I think, back in October, and she had like almost nothing showing on the front. Like, there was very little left of the imagination.
Yes, I saw that. Yes,
that one. And like, yeah. So talk about extreme. Like, I was like, wow, how are you holding that thing up?
Right, so, magic.
Oh, it's exactly magic of elastic and duct tape.
Yep.
So yeah, it's that's the thing, you know. If you're going to go all out, I mean, if you really want to immerse yourself in a cosplay, really, push those boundaries. Get yourself out there. You know what? Forget the haters, because no matter what you do, people are going to judge you. Just go and have a blast.
That's right.
No matter what. You could be a saint or you could be doing whatever. It doesn't matter. There's always going to be someone there that wants to tear you down. So realize when you go into cosplay, it's all about the fun and forget everybody else. Just go out there and you know what? Just have fun and enjoy the ride, literally.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, kind of like I just wanted to add, you know.
And you know what?
As far as, like, staying in character, when I do my V for Vendetta and I'm dressed to head to toe, I stay in character when I'm dressed like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing. You know, I have to say that Boston Comic Con, when I went a couple years back, and New York City Comic Con when I went, you know, being in character like that and, you know, just doing soliloquy, posing for the pictures, responding to people, they love it. I love it. I walk and move with the, you know, studied grace and drama that he has. And, you know, it's just a blast. I mean, there's no higher high than doing that and the response of the people and, you know, you working with them. It's just amazing.
About it. For normal folk like us, you never get a chance to be a star. But when you go to a convention and you have an awesome cosplay outfit,
you can be
a star. Victoria's heard this story, but I know Johnny hasn't, and maybe some people listening haven't. If you've listened before, I have brought this story up. But I'm going to do it again because it goes great with our topic. I went to a convention in 1990 in Buffalo, New York. And Michael Dorn was going to be the guest star there. And I love Michael Dorn. I love Worf. So I had a Worf costume. My picture on Facebook is of me in that costume with Michael Dorn at that convention. So if anyone knows me and you see that picture, that's where it came from. And Karen and a friend of ours, Kathy, we went out to Buffalo. We made the trek. We got out there. I got my costume on. And you were only allowed one autograph, and there was no pictures. It was just sign, 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 and that was it. So I wanted a picture of me in costume with Michael Dorn. We waited till the very, very end, till everybody was done. And I went up and I said, you know, I don't want an autograph. I just want a picture. So I got my picture taken with him. We ran across the street to the mall, got it developed overnight, went back to the convention the next day, waited online and had him sign it for me. That's the picture.
Awesome.
That's my profile picture on Facebook.
Well, I love that.
Because back then we didn't have digital photos. It was all done
right?
with film and cameras. Oh, man.
Oh,
so anyways, the reason why I bring the story up is Kathy was dressed up as a Talosian, and I was dressed up as Worf. And we're coming out of our hotel room, and Karen was taking a shower, and I wanted to get down and get on the autograph line before Michael Dorn left, so she was going to meet us there. The lady comes and says, oh, your daughter called for some towels. And I looked at Kathy and said, my daughter? That's my wife, my daughter. So she brings the towels in to Karen. And we get on the elevator. Well, the lady, and I'm like, what's the deal here? And we get on the elevator, and she's like standing right there. And the elevator door closes. I'm like, wow, she's a weird one. We get off the elevator in the lobby, and we're walking through the lobby. The elevator door opens, and there she is on the elevator. And she's staring at us again. And she's following us through the lobby. And I'm like, what is going on? This woman is really scaring me. And so finally, what seemed like an eternity, she worked up enough nerve to come up to me and say, I know you. And I said, no, you don't. Said, yes, I do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. You're that you're that Klingon guy Worf from that Star Trek show.
Oh my God.
Nice.
No, I'm not.
I love it.
He says, yeah, my husband loves your character. You're Worf. You're his favorite character. And she says, will you sign this for my husband, John? And she pulls out a picture of Worf and has sign it to Bob, best of luck, Worf.
Oh,
because
sweet heavens.
Michael Dorn was at the convention. And I was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? And so somewhere in Buffalo, there's a guy named Bob with a picture of Worf hanging on his wall, which I signed at the convention lobby because the wife thought I was him.
Oh, man.
Because
that's
that was way, way, way... Wow. That was back in the day before cosplay was cool. And you didn't see a lot of it. And I was like, I can't believe this. This person wants my autograph.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And when you have a good costume, all the people asking you for pictures and compliments, it just makes you feel good inside.
It is mind-blowing. And I have to tell you this. As far as it goes, I know a couple of friends who are cosplay photographers. It's one of the main things they do besides their other jobs that they have. And when I have shown people the pictures of me as V for Vendetta, I have had many people think, especially because I got the mask on and stuff. But, I mean, I'm in other poses, and a lot of the time the costume is so good. They think I'm showing a picture of Hugo Weaving in the costume.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. It is amazing. And I have to say, in Boston Comic-Con, this is one of the most interesting compliments, that a lady gave me from across the way. I was, going up one of the vendor aisles, and this lady walked in the door and did a double take, and she goes, "That's the shit." And I'm like, "Whoa!" She was so excited. She's
That's
unbelievable,
awesome.
You know? I'm like, wow.
Oh, man, that's awesome when that happens. Like, that happened to me once when I was Arrow.
Yes.
When you get a chance to meet, like, Fest, and Karen and I were walking down the hallway, and I heard, rrr, 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 and I said to Karen, "Stop! There's a Cylon here."
That's awesome.
That's a Cylon. And I'm looking, where the hell is he? And I can't find him. And I look down the hallway, and I see him getting on the elevator. And I'm like running down the hallway. I got to go meet the Cylon. And I caught him down in the lobby. And I'm talking original Cylons from Glenn Larson's 1978 Battlestar Galactica. The big silver dudes with the red eye that went back and forth. Not these deals with the new one, but the real Cylon. And, oh, my God, when I was standing next to him and his eye was going back and forth, I said to the kid, you got to get at least a dozen pictures of me with a Cylon because I have never seen no shit like this before.
Oh, my gosh.
And the guy was just so cool in the costume. He was the coolest dude ever. I talked to him for about 20 minutes about Battlestar Galactica. He was just so cool. And his costume blew me away.
Oh, yeah.
It was the highlight of my convention, meeting a Cylon. How many Cylons have you ever met?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know about you guys with autographs, I met Jim Stanton at Albany Comic-Con. And if you guys don't know who he is, he's the guy who drew Dick Tracy. I literally had the biggest fanboy moment I ever had in my life.
Wow.
Like, and it was like, I sat there and talked to him for like 5 minutes, and his autograph was like $10. And he autographed a picture for me, and it was like an actual print from Dick Tracy, and it like literally made me like almost boil. It was amazing.
Wow.
Awesome.
If you get to meet an idol or a hero of yours, it can be disappointing too if they're a jerk like William Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
I won't get into that story.
I've heard some people say Jonathan Frakes wasn't too good either.
I've met Jonathan Frakes twice, and both times he was awesome.
Good. That's good to hear.
Of course, that was bad.
Well, maybe somebody's having a bad day or something. You know, it happens. There are people too.
We're down to a couple minutes, but I want to share a Jonathan Frakes story with you guys real quick before we have to say goodnight.
Okay.
Karen
and
me and a friend of ours as Effing John drove all the way out to Syracuse to meet Jonathan Frakes at his first Star Trek convention. This was at the end of season one, but before season two. We drove all the way out there. We had a wicked ice storm. It was terrible. Oh. The heat died in my car. We finally got there. We walk into the hotel. The convention's canceled.
Oh.
We're sitting in the lobby after driving 3 hours, like, what the hell? And walking through the lobby is none other than Jonathan Frakes. And
wow.
He had the beard. Now, we never saw him with the beard. If you remember season one, mm-hmm. he had no beard. Season two, he did. So this was the first time we saw him with a beard. And they're escorting him out of the hotel, and they're going to put him back on the plane and fly him back. And we're sitting there, and my wife, Karen, loves Jonathan Frakes. In fact, that's the only reason she watched Star Trek, because she thought he was so cute.
Oh.
We didn't drive all the way out there not to meet him. So he's walking through the lobby, and we stopped and asked him for a picture. And the guy that was running the convention was a douchebag. Oh, we don't got time for that. He's ushering him out the door. Jonathan Frakes turns to the guy and says, "These are my fans. I always have time for my fans. Let's go over here." We
stopped
in the ballroom, which is completely empty. He asks us, "What do you think about the beard? I think I'm going to keep it for the show, blah, 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 blah."
Oh.
Shakes our hands, puts his arms around my wife. She got all flushed. I thought she was going to pass out. Took a picture with us, signed an autograph for us, thanked us for watching the show, and apologized for the convention being canceled. Went out, got in the car, and left. And that was the first time I met Jonathan Frakes. He was awesome. So, we're down to 5 minutes. So that means it's time to go. So I got to say good night and thank you to Johnny, and good night and thank you to Victoria.
Yes.
Victoria, where can people find you? If people want to look you up or chat with you, where can they find you?
I'm on Facebook, Victoria Vine. I've got a page, and then I've just, got a page, Victoria Vine. It's where I post my photographs and other things, and just Victoria Vine. That's a personal page, I guess. Facebook.
So you guys can look up Victoria Vine on Facebook, and you can find her there, or you can contact me here at the show, and I can put you in touch with her or find out about her costume. And how about you, Johnny?
You can find me on Facebook as Johnny Arrow. Also, I have a cosplay page it's facebook.com/DrDaredevilCosplays. You can see where I just kind of post all my random, tomfoolery. And you can also check me out on Instagram.
And
that'll be me.
And again, if you guys want to contact Johnny, by all means, if you can't remember, you can always contact the Trek Talking page, and I can put you in touch with Johnny or Victoria. The show was great, guys. It was very informative. I had a lot of fun chatting with you guys. Thank you both very much.
You're welcome.
There will be no show next week because GM Chris is going to be working late. Star Wars show next week. That's right. Sean will be on with me, and we'll be doing our Star Wars Rebels roundup. We'll be talking about Star Wars Rebels and anything new Star Wars news that comes along, probably Rogue One. I haven't talked with Sean to see what we're going to do. Maybe the women of Star Wars. It'll be a Star Wars themed show, so you guys can mark that on your calendar. You can like me on Facebook, Trek Talkin', or you can go to our Blog Talk Radio page. All of our shows are there. You can give a listen, follow us there. That way you'll get all the updates. And, pretty much it. We'll be a Star Wars show. And we'll see you guys all next week. And thank you, Johnny. You guys were awesome and great as always.
You're welcome, sir. Anytime.
I'll see both of you guys. It's going to be fun. We'll see you guys at ChaseCon, I think, October, correct?
Yes, exactly. October 22nd and 23rd. I'll be a judge.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Oh, you're going to be a judge.
Yeah, I'll be judging
the
contest.
Good.
We might shoot down to InfinityCon in Lake George, since we camp up here, and see if he has the guest stars that he says he's going to have there. So I might run into
check
you
it
there,
out.
Johnny.
Well, I know that the Power Rangers are confirmed, so I know that they will definitively be there.
Okay, excellent. So as usual, I'm going to log off with some words of wisdom from Captain Picard, and we'll see you guys around the galaxy. Thanks for joining me tonight.
All right, take care, guys. Good night.
Good night.
Let's see what's out there.